Amen. We thank our brothers for leading us in this morning's message, or leading up to this morning's message. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? Probably many of us don't even need to turn our Bibles there. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask that you might be with us on this morning, Lord. And you might help us as we look at your word and as we hear what you need us to hear, as we see what you need us to see, Lord. We pray that we have those eyes to see, ears to hear, and then hands and feet to put into practice the things that we need to put into practice. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. It's evident even on this morning as we're able to stand and sit in this place. You woke us up and you've given us a new chance, a new opportunity. And I pray that even if there's someone this morning who is benefiting from this new chance, this new opportunity, that they might take it as a hint to get closer to you, to surrender to you, to give their lives over to you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this wonderful congregation, the Green Bank Church of Christ, and all those around the world that serve you and worship you and continue to carry on your mission. Bless us as we continue to do so and as we strive to grow in you and grow in our service. Bless, guide, protect, keep watch over us, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about being unstuck and set free, practical steps for overcoming ungodly thinking. I want you to think about this for a moment. Imagine that this is you. You're in a vehicle trying to just get to a certain destination, and you are driving, and you get to this big old boulder, and you recognize, look, I can't go anywhere. I can't move. I can't go any further. And so you decide, well, if I can't go straight, let me go around it. And yet you try to go around it, and you see the car, right? You see it got stuck in the mud. Tires are spinning. You find yourself stuck with no opportunity, no way to get out. You're all by yourself. And you become frustrated and recognize that there's no help around right now, and you're trying your very best, and later on maybe you find some relief. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I know I've gotten stuck so many times, stuck in the mud so many times, and it is frustrating, and you try your very best, and you know, I remember one time being stuck. There was a great snowstorm that came. I got stuck, and Lord, finally I was able to get out. I had to get some shovels, had to put some kitty litter down and some cardboard and all this kind of stuff to get out. And finally, after I got out, I saw somebody on the other side of the road. I'm turning around, and I saw them, and they were stuck now. And now with the tools and with the know-how and all that, I stopped on over and helped him get unstuck also. And I think you could probably see, as we're talking about being unstuck and getting unstuck and recognizing that as God even helps us, that we're obligated to help others. In this scenario, we try to push the boulder and we're not strong enough. We try to figure out a way to be able to get the car out of that mud, and we're just not wise enough, or the mud is just too good, too muddy. And you find yourself in this type of rut. And I just want you to think about the frustration of being stuck there, being stuck there. Because I'm using that as we're thinking about us being stuck in bad thinking, negative thinking, worldly thinking, habits, actions, thoughts, living a life that is not conforming to the very image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of us to have a portion, a place in our life where that's relevant. I know we're Christians and all that, but there's still some things that sometimes we're holding on to that we shouldn't. There's some things that we're doing that we shouldn't. There's some ways we think that we shouldn't, some actions that we take that we shouldn't. And all of a sudden, sometimes we've got to get to this point to realize that, look, maybe I'm in this pattern. Maybe I'm just continuing to do this over and over again because I've heard people say, look, this is just how I am. I think this is just how I am. You know, God made me that. I'm loud, and whenever someone comes in my face, I'm going to tell them off. Why? That's how I am. Well, that might be how you are, but what the Lord wants to do is take you where you are and transform you to be something different. Yeah, I don't know if you ever seen the Transformers. I remember as a child, I mean, that was my show, my cartoon. Remember that? And you see something, it looks like a plane, and all of a sudden it's now a big robot, or it's a truck, and now all of a sudden it's a robot and all that, and it transforms and goes one to the other. And it's absolutely now different when it's transformed. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to make us new. But what happens is he does make us new. He makes us new, but when we go in the water grave of baptism and come back out, while he made us new and now has graced us and given us this great thing called salvation, there are still things that we hold on to. That's why Ephesians tells us to put off the old man, put on the new man created in Christ Jesus. So really what he's telling us is that there's still a battle between the old man and the new man. And the fact that he tells us to put it off means we have that ability to do so, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not just, look, this is how I am. This is, I've always been doing it this way. I've always been living this way. I've always been doing certain things. And so that's just what it is. Well, that's not acceptable. The Lord wants us to be transformed as we think about God. I mean, look at the very first verse. I urge you, brothers, by the mercy, God's mercy, to offer yourself a living sacrifice. What does that mean? As Brother Boyd was talking about, look at the extent Jesus did. Jesus gave himself a sacrifice, and it was painful to be a sacrifice. And for us, it's painful to become the transformed version of who God wants us to be, because it means we're going to have to give up some things, live in different ways, act in different ways. If you continue on the Ephesian letter, it continues telling you some things to put off and to put on. I'm not going to go through that. That's not my lesson today. But let's look at this for a moment. How to get unstuck from worldly thinking, worldly living, and ways that are just not according to God. First of all, we've got to spend time in God's Word. You know, the renewing of our minds happen when we're able to now adopt what God is saying, God's truth as our truth. God, and that we want to take it and say, look, okay, here's what the world says, here's what the world does, here's what, even, you know, when I say the world, we don't have to go way out there. The world's right there within our homes sometimes, within our families, the way we grew up and all that. Just because mom and dad argued in a certain way, or talked to us in a certain way, or treated us a certain way, or you saw an example, because let's just be honest, everyone's mom and dad wasn't the perfect model for us. And truth be told, if you look in the mirror, you're not a perfect model either for someone else, because we're not perfect. And so what we're doing is we're picking up some good things, and then we're also at the same time picking up some negative things, and it becomes now part of who we are. right? And then we carry it. I'm just going, let's progress into time. It becomes part of who we are, and we progress and we carry those things. These habits and these actions and these attitudes and the way that we respond to one another and to other people. And so what we've seen first is we look at the very image of our parents, and while we say, I never want to be like them at all, that's exactly who we normally become. Just like them, start talking like them, acting like them, doing the things that they did also. Why? That's the image that we've had most of our, you know, the critical years of our lives, of our development. And yet, what the Lord does is says, look, I what I want to do is to shake up your thinking, is to show you something that's better and greater. We understand that God's commands, that it says they're not hard, but they are. Is in the context I'm using it, is hard because it's not, well, it's not natural sometimes for us. When you've been doing something so long, and now God says, here's an option, here's a way of thinking, a way of living. Take this. And now you go, well, here I am in the middle going, well, I've been doing this so long. You know, I've been responding in this way for so long that this is just natural. And okay, well, that's the beauty and the benefit of the word of Almighty God. Look once again. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a transformation that happens right here in your mind. As we start bringing in the word of Almighty God, it helps us to align with God's will. It helps us to understand what his desires are. It helps us to live as he would have us to live. If we look at the example of Jesus Christ, Jesus gives up everything to come down and serve man and to recognize and to see a purpose that's greater than himself. If that is even possible, if you understand what I mean, that it was something that benefited the whole entire world. It wasn't about his comfort. It was about his mission. God has a mission for us, and he wants to develop us. He wants to transform us. Why? In order to use us for his mission. But it cannot happen unless we spend time in his word and become transformed through that time in his word. Second, how to get unstuck. You got to seek accountability. You got to seek community. You see, with the illustration earlier of being stuck, it's hard to do something so big by yourself. In that car by yourself and there's a boulder, I can't move it. In the car going around the boulder, you get stuck. I can't get it out by myself. I need others in order to help me. We need one another in order, what do we call, iron sharpening iron. We need one another, and this accountability is so vitally important. You know, I was encouraged this morning when, you know, the class this morning was filled this morning. Our Hispanic class this morning was filled. I'm hoping that same be said over there, but it just, There's a different type of feeling when you can see that people gather together, and we feed off of one another. We encourage one another. So many times I've walked in these doors and have been miserable, and I try to put on the face and all that, and then you walk in, and all of a sudden, God just does something so great as we're, you know, as we're kind of what I call licking each other's wounds. We're hurting, and we're there for one another and providing one another some counsel and some encouragement and all that. And you leave out of this place better always than when you first came in. Is that anyone else's testimony or just mine? That when we come together, we get strengthened. But why is it so often that instead, we rather be secluded and alone? And I'm not saying us, I'm just, there are some that would rather be secluded and alone and think that that is the preferable way of living for the Lord. You know, there were some that call themselves monks and go out and isolate themselves from everyone else. Well, that's But the point is that we need to have this community, and we need to be together. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on the earthly things. And when we surround ourselves with one another, we have our minds set on things above. We are staying focused and encouraged on what really matters. What really matters isn't the football game, even though it's going to be a good football game today. The Eagles are going to win. That's not what really matters, though. I was at the farmer's market yesterday, and the guy had a Cowboys hat, and we were talking the Eagles, Cowboys type thing. But at the same time, I said, look, I want the Eagles to win, but it's not that big a deal, really. It's really not big a deal. There are some people that make it so huge and want to go fighting and all sorts. No, it's not that big a deal. They're getting paid. They're not sharing none of it with you. All right? They have never given me a dollar. So, but what's really important? What, you know, we got to focus on the things that are really, really important. That's how we live, how we serve, where we're going, where's the destination, and then not only that, how many folk can we take with us? Amen. You know, this is a challenging morning because I have so much stuff, and I have so little time because we have so much stuff going on today. Maybe this will be a part two next week. Third, practicing gratitude and focusing on the positive. You go, well, what does that really have to do with anything? A lot. A lot. A lot. Because I don't know about you when you're stuck. If you could be that woman or man, well, really is you. The picture up there was really you. Stuck in the boulder right there. Stuck now, all of a sudden, stuck in the mud and all that. And the frustration. I want you to focus on that frustration for a moment. And that frustration, what happens? I mean, some of us will talk bad about God. Some will charge it on God. You know, some would just become so depressed and discouraged, et cetera, et cetera. Yet, what we need to do is realize that there is always a blessing. There is always a blessing, even in the midst of the storm. There's always a blessing. And so we have to have a positive outlook, because I don't know about you, there's somewhere I read this scripture called Romans 8:28 that says that no matter what is going on with you, all things work together for good, for those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose, right? He'll take the mess and all that. He's going to work it out to your good. So if you already know the end, you already know he's going to work it out for your good. Why are you fretting? Why are you crying about it? Why, you know, and all that. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with crying and all that. I've done my share this week, I'll tell you that right now. But in the grand scheme of it, first of all, we can't charge these things on God. And second of all, we know that God's going to give us the victory. It may not be in our time, on our timetable, but surely it will be on his, and he will. See, one way to combat negative thoughts is to actively cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast on you because they trust in you. As we're practicing gratitude and focusing on the positive, we keep our minds focused on the Lord. You know, think about Peter when he got up and was walking on the water. As he was able to walk on water when he kept his eyes on Jesus. And what happens when he took his eyes off Jesus? He began to sink. And so whenever we take our eyes off Jesus and we look at storms as greater than God, as we look at storms and think that they're scarier than God, you know, and all of that, then all of a sudden we are going to begin to sink into depression, sink in in despair and all of that, because we've taken our eyes off of our deliverer, our God, our Savior, our King. God wants to develop us, to use. I don't want to be used. Well, why are you here then? He wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to develop you in order to use you. And when I say why are you here, I mean, why are you a Christian? If that's part, that's par for the course. That's part of his plan. He called his disciples to do what? To send them out to the world. He didn't call them to just be sitting on the pew. He didn't call them to just be able to put on a nice fish symbol on the back of your car and now be able to say that, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. No, it's a work. It's even more than a work. You know, it's a life. It's our life. We're surrendering to him. And we're saying, look, Lord, I want to do your will. And I want to live for you. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. They don't trust in this world's way of thinking. They don't trust in the government as being the provider of all things. We trust in him. And then lastly, we seek God in prayer. Life is challenging. Being a Christian is challenging. I share this with you guys all the time. This is the Christian's life. It's not like, hey, you're down here and now you're on the mountaintop and it's just smooth sailing from now. No. You want to get to heaven? This is heaven. This is heaven, ups and downs and roller coaster and all that. And so even as I'm up here and standing, I've been on this roller coaster. I'm on the roller coaster with you. We're all on it. Amen. Don't jump off, though. Don't jump off. Stay on, all right? It's going somewhere, all right? You stay on to the very end. But it's a roller coaster. We're going to have our good days. We're going to have our bad days. You know, I was sharing with you, I had a crazy week this week. Was probably Tuesday was one of my most miserable days in my life. And that is not an understatement. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm being serious. Tuesday was one of the worst days of my life. There was a moment in that day where I'm crying to the Lord, you can just come take me now. I'm ready. I'm ready. I had a negative reaction to some medicine on Tuesday. I ended up spitting up a lot of stuff. I started fasting on Monday, so I had no food in me. So all of a sudden, everything I'm putting up is acid. My vocal cords were burned. George knows. We talked on Tuesday. I was talking like this, and you couldn't really hear me at all. So that was one thing. Then my back. You already know I've been having issues with my back. And all of a sudden, it got even more inflamed. I don't know if you ever threw up and didn't want to throw up. Your body, all the muscles in your body contract. That's not good when you're going through a very severe lower back pain. And so I was the most miserable, nauseous. I mean, even I still have some of the side effects even right now. It's not as much, but praise be to God, it's not as much now, but it was miserable. That was Tuesday. And I thank God that he can continue to just stay with me. And I like I said, I don't, whenever I go through bad times, I've shared this with you before, I don't think I've ever looked at my situation and shook my finger at God, right? And I'm not bragging about that. I'll show you some other stuff I can tell you some other stuff I didn't do right, right? But that's one thing, I've never shook my finger at God as if he did it. I don't believe that. Wednesday evening, something happened. And I was researching. When, I don't know, if you've ever been in pain, you're looking for some solutions. You're looking. Matter of fact, some of y'all know because I put a post on Facebook. Please, somebody give me a solution. Give me a help. Give me an advice, something. Finally found something. It looked like, whoa, hold on. This looks like everything I'm dealing with right now. So I started doing it. It's called the SI joint, in case this helps anyone else out there. There's an area near the back, the tailbone, and these little tiny joints there, called SI joints, sacrodotial joints, something like that. Thank you. We got the right people here. Thank you. Thank you, brothers. Amen. We can talk theology later, but I don't know nothing about it. I'll just tell you this. I'd never heard of it. I'm so glad I found it. Because I did the stretches that it said. I did the, that I found on the video. I did the couple of exercises. And I'm telling you that within minutes, I felt a difference. It's still not 100, but it was a dramatic difference. And one moment I'm down here like, Lord, take me now. Since Wednesday on, man, I'm on cloud 9. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And God helps and blesses and is with us. And sometimes, you know, like I said earlier, he may not always come exactly when you want him. But he what? He'll be there right on time. You know, when we're going through our stuff, one thing we need to recognize is that we can go to God for anything. Anything. I've talked to some people that said, well, I don't want to bother God with that. What? My little request is so small in comparison to, I don't know about you. I don't know. I know people whose back is worse than mine. I know people who have other things. There are other people. But when it hit me, Lord, help me. Help me. And I don't have a problem asking God to come help me in my time of need. Matter of fact, I was thanking the brothers for praying. I'm just attributing the prayers of the saints for my recovery. And, of course, God. And so, prayer is a powerful, true tool for transformation. I mean, it's something in my own life I've seen God come through. I mean, I remember one time, and I've shared the story with you, and I'm going to share it one more time because somebody didn't hear it. I was confused about who Jesus is. I was confused about the Bible and the authenticity of the Bible. I was confused about religion as a whole. And but what I did was I got down and I prayed. I said, God, please help me. I'm confused. Someone gave me some literature. At the time, I didn't know how to be able to defend the word of God. I didn't have enough in me. And so they gave me some literature that just really messed me all up. I was questioning all these type of things regarding the word of God. And I didn't have a way. I didn't know how to fight it. And so, but what I did know is how to get on my knees. What I did know is how to go to the one who knows all things. And I got on my knees and I talked to God and I prayed to the Lord. And that same evening, I used to watch listen to a radio program that used to come on through Harold Camping called Family on Family Radio Stations. And he used to do a Q&A on the radio. And I was listening to that, you know, often. And at that point, I wasn't really going to church, but I was trying to get back into, you know, my relationship with God. And I was on my knees and I'm praying, I'm asking the Lord, you know, I just want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth, Lord. And thanks be to God that he gave me the answers, the truth. He used it in a very unconventional way, to a man named Harold Camping, who I kind of have a lot of issues with the teaching, some of the teachings now that I know. However, he used Harold Camping for me. He used him to get to me. Because that same evening, and I had forgotten about my prayer earlier. I had forgotten about it. I wasn't expecting anything. I didn't expect God to answer my prayer in one day. I didn't even expect it. The specific questions I had were answered on that radio program that evening, the specific ones. I'm not talking about some general things. You know, sometimes, you know, you see some of these guys go out there, they throw out some general questions out. Specific detailed questions that I needed answered were answered that same evening. And what it did was caused me to react in a very similar way that it caused me to react this week. Glory, 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 and throwing myself down and recognizing, first of all, how little I am. I'm a nobody. And then how good God is, that God of this universe, the God of this universe thought so much to make sure I got this answered. And I just remember just pouring out these tears before the Lord because he spoke to me. No, he didn't whisper in my ears or anything, but he spoke to me. He spoke to me. All of that took place first because I prayed. I'm seeking his face. I'm talking to him and asking him and going to him. And sometimes prayer, you know, as Jesus told many parables about prayer, but there's this one that this man comes and he's knocking on the door of his neighbor for some bread, and he continues to knock and he continues to knock, and the guy's like, get away from me, and he goes, look, I got a stranger that's coming, I got a fellow visitor, that's coming, a friend that's coming from far, and I got to be able to provide for him, but I don't have nothing. That's how it's gonna be short, huh? All right, let me hurry up. He said, I don't have anything. But the guy says, nah, man, we're asleep already. Leave me alone. We're in bed already. Stop. And he said, but no, I really need this. I really need it. I really need it. I've got a friend coming, and maybe he didn't hear me the first time I knocked, but I really need it. And then, go away. And it says that the man may not get up because of the fact that he was being a good fella to his neighbor, but because of the persistence, he's going to get up. And then it tells, ask, and you shall be what? Seek. Do you see how God desires that we come and that we come to him in prayer? Whatever the habit is, whatever the attitude is, whatever the way of living is, whatever the thinking is, whatever it is, you can be free from it if you want to. If you want to. You can be transformed if you want to. But it's going to cost something. It's going to be a little bit painful. It's going to be a little bit inconvenient. Your schedule's going to change. The people you hang around is going to change. There's going to be a whole lot of change. But it's going to be so well worth it. Because let me just tell you this. Whatever God offers us is always better than anything the world has, anything the enemy has. And there's always a choice we have. There's always a choice. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God wants to make us. God wants to remake us. And maybe there's someone here this morning that you're sitting on the outside. Now, look, this is applicable for everyone, But right now, I'm specifically talking right now to those who have not yet been buried in the watery grave of baptism, have not yet surrendered to Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to make you new, to bring you into the family. Yeah, there's still going to be some more growing. There's still going to be some more shedding off of old and putting on the new. There's going to be all that, but it has to start. The starting place is in baptism. The starting place is giving your life over to Jesus Christ and deciding, making a decision that he's going to be your Lord, that he's going to be your King, that he's the one you're following. That the other voices that are out there, the world and our past and our friends and our family members, the influences, the negative influences that are out there, rather, that we would cut those off and focus on him and allow him to show us the way. See, eventually someone came and moved the boulder. Eventually there was some great machinery that came and picked the car and took it out of the mud. So there was something stronger, something more able that came to move. And that's what Jesus does. That's what God does. He comes in order to help us to move the barriers and the boulders out of our life that block our path to him. And he wants and desires that he wants to be able to do it. But guess what? You got to call him first. You got to call him first. You got to make a decision. Maybe there's someone here ready to make a decision this morning for Jesus Christ, ready to give him, give your life over to Jesus Christ this morning. Are you ready? If not, why not? You know, this is 2023. This is still that season of resolutions. What's going to be different in 2023? This is a great opportunity to decide and to do. Decide and to do something different. Is there one this morning that desires to be made new? I know we've got stuff going on today. This is the most important. And there's no one here that would mind someone coming and being reborn this morning. We'll put everything off for that. Are you ready? If you're ready, God is ready. All you need to, you've heard the word of God. God is good. God came. He died. He was buried. He rose on the third day according to the scriptures. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that if you walk with him until the end of time, that there is a crown of life in store for you? Are you ready to submit and surrender to him? If you're ready this morning, we're ready to accept you. The angels in heaven are ready to rejoice also. Are you ready? If you're ready, won't you come this morning and put him on in baptism for the remission of your sins, to be remade, reborn, made new again, transformed this morning. Won't you come as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?